Laudato Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
Today, Wednesday, April 7th, is the fourth day in the octave of Easter. And these are today's headlines. Pope Francis reflects on the communion of saints in his catechesis during today's general audience. Myanmar's military continues to ramp up its offensive against opponents of the coup that overthrew the country's democratically elected government. And the world marks 27 years since the Rwandan genocide. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. Our top story today, during his catechesis at the General Audience on Wednesday, Pope Francis reflected on the communion of the saints, saying the intercession of the saints is their most exalted service to God's plan. Lydia O'Kane has this report.
Following the Easter celebrations, Pope Francis on Wednesday continued his catechesis on Christian prayer during the General Audience, focusing this week on the communion of saints. He explains that whenever we pray, we are never alone, but find ourselves immersed in a great stream of past, present and future intercession for the needs of individuals and of the whole world.
Quando preghiamo, non lo facciamo mai da soli.
We pray together with all the saints in the communion of the body of Christ, which is the Church, the Pope said, adding that those good prayers are expansive.
Le preghiere, quelle buone, sono diffusive come ogni buono.
They propagate themselves continuously, with or without being posted on social networks, from hospital wards, from moments of festive gatherings, to those in which we suffer silently. Pope Francis noted, prayer is always born again. Each time we join our hands and open our hearts to God, we find ourselves in the company of anonymous saints and recognized saints who pray with us and who intercede for us as older brothers and sisters who have preceded us on the same human adventure. There is no grief in the church that is born in solitude, he underlined. There are no tears shed in oblivion because everyone breathes and participates in one common grace. The Pope described the saints as this great cloud of witnesses, both known and unknown, who ceaselessly pray with us and for us in giving glory to God. Our veneration of the saints draws us closer to Jesus, the sole mediator between man and God, he said. Pope Francis went on to say that the saints remind us that even in our lives, however weak and marked by sin, holiness can unfold. It is never too late to be converted to the Lord, who is good and great in love. In Christ too, he continued, we sense a mysterious solidarity with our loved ones who have died, for whom we continue to pray. The Pope emphasized that the intercession of the saints is their most exalted service to God's plan, and we can and should ask them to intercede for us and for the whole world. Dwelling on loved ones who have passed from this life, Pope Francis said, there is a mysterious solidarity in Christ between those who have already passed to the other life and we pilgrims in this one. From heaven, our beloved deceased continue to take care of us. They pray for us, and we pray for them. In conclusion, the Pope stressed that the saints are there to give us a hand, to obtain the grace from God that we need. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
At the conclusion of the audience, Pope Francis prayed for victims of devastating floods and landslides that engulfed a cluster of islands in Southeast Asia and Oceania. I wish to give assurance of my prayers to the victims of floods that in the past days have struck Indonesia and East Timor, the Pope said. The floods, triggered by Cyclone Seroja, have killed at least 140 people across several islands in the two countries. Scores of people are still missing as rain continues to pound the region and hamper rescue operations. Pope Francis said he prayed that the Lord might receive the dead, comfort their families, and sustain those who have lost their loved ones. In a separate appeal, Pope Francis also recalled the observance on Monday of the International Day of Sport for Development and Peace, which was established by the United Nations. I hope that this might set in motion once again the experience of sports as a team event to promote dialogue through different cultures and peoples, he said. Also from Southeast Asia, as news of Myanmar's security forces' brutal crackdown against opponents of the February 1st coup continue to dominate headlines, The military has ramped up its offensive against insurgent groups in the country, causing thousands of people to be displaced. More than 20,000 people in Myanmar's Karen state have been forced to flee their homes, as the military has continued its air and ground campaign since late March. Robin Gomes has the latest.
The newly displaced people are unable to tend their crops or take care of their animals and are surviving on emergency rations they have hidden. But not only do they need food now, this will become a greater crisis if they cannot plant their fields and take care of their animals, said the non-profit organization Free Burma Rangers in a report on Tuesday. The army's latest air and ground offensive against the Karen people began on March the 27th after the insurgent group, the Karen National Liberation Army, KNLA, attacked a military camp, killing 10 soldiers. They were the first airstrikes in 20 years in Karen State, which has been relatively peaceful since the nationwide ceasefire agreement in October 2015. Free Burma Rangers, which provides help to internally displaced people in Myanmar, said so far 14 Karen people have been killed and more than 40 wounded in military airstrikes. The biggest result of these airstrikes has been over 20,000 people hiding in the jungle, afraid to stay in their homes and be the next target, unable to go out to their fields, it said. Schools, clinics, homes, and mining operations have been hit by the airstrikes. The military has also been reinforcing a ground offensive into Karen territory that forced villagers to flee their homes. The NGO said the military announced a ceasefire with ethnic armed groups on April the 1st, but conducted multiple airstrikes in Papun district of Karen state the same day. According to David Eubank, the founder of Free Burma Rangers, the situation now seems, from our perspective, to be an all-out war to finish. Unless there is a miracle, he warned, the Burma army will not hold back in their attempt to crush the Karen and any other ethnic group that stands against them. I am Robin Gomes.
From Africa, 27 years on, Rwanda commemorates the victims of the genocide, which lasted for about 100 days between April and July 1994. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres highlights that to avoid a repeat of this sad moment in history, we must take a hard look at today's world and ensure that we heed the lessons of 27 years ago. Father Benedict Mayaki tells us more.
This year marks 27 years since the world witnessed the shocking systematic murder of hundreds of thousands of people in the Eastern African nation of Rwanda. An estimated 800,000 to over a million people, mostly from the minority Tutsi ethnic group, were killed in what is now known as the Rwandan genocide between the 7th of April and the 15th of July 1994. The trigger for the attacks came on the 6th of April 1994 when a plane carrying then-President Juvenal Habyarimana of the Hutu ethnic group was shot down, killing him and all others on board. Attacks spurred by ethnic sentiment soon began in a systematic campaign of slaughter which lasted for about 100 days. In a message issued in commemoration of the International Day of Reflection on the 1994 genocide, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres stressed that we must take a hard look at today's world and ensure that we heed the lessons of 27 years ago. He further noted that we saw what happened in Rwanda in 1994 and we know the horrific consequences when hate is allowed to prevail. Therefore, we must redouble our efforts and forge a common agenda to renew and reinvigorate our collective actions going forward. To do this, he continued, we must defend human rights and continue to push for policies that fully respect members of society. Antonio Guterres went on to point out that even today, people are threatened by extremist groups determined on boosting their ranks through social polarization and political and cultural manipulation. Further adding to the situation, Guterres noted, is the COVID-19 pandemic, which underscores the urgency of addressing deepening divides. The pandemic has further fueled discrimination, increased social polarization and inequalities, all of which can lead to violence and conflict. The UN Secretary General went on to note that even though Rwanda has experienced one of the most painful chapters of modern human history, its people have rebuilt from the ashes. Moreover, the Secretary General noted, the people of Rwanda have shown us the power of justice and reconciliation and the possibility of progress. I'm Father Benedict Mayaki.
Returning to news from here at the Vatican, Pope Francis has sent personal greetings to Father Dionysius Mintoff on the occasion of the Maltese Franciscan's 90th birthday. Father Mentoff is the founder of a center for peace and a shelter for migrants. Linda Bardoni has the story.
Dear Father, I have just found out that the day before yesterday, you turned 90. I send you my best wishes. With these simple words and a handwritten note, Pope Francis most certainly made the day for Father Dionysius Mintoff as he went about celebrating an important birthday at the Pope John XXIII Peace Laboratory he founded on the island of Malta. In the note written on the 3rd of April, Pope Francis goes on to thank Father Mintoff for his priestly and religious life as a Franciscan and for his lifelong ministry in the Church. In his typical style, he asks the elderly Franciscan to pray for him before wishing him a blessed Easter and signing off with a simple, "Fraternally yours, Francesco." Father Dionysius Mintoff established the Pope John XXIII Peace Laboratory in 1971, following an appeal made by Pope John XXIII, who called for the world to reflect on peace. As a Franciscan and a Maltese who has personally seen the outcomes of war, I decided to open a space that advocates for peace education in Malta, he explained. The Peace Lab, that runs an extensive adult education program, has morphed with the needs of a changing world scenario, and since 2002 it offers shelter to refugees and migrants. In the firm belief that we are all brothers and sisters, it includes a church, a mosque, and a prayer room for all religions, as well as a number of activities that flourish in an environment that is conducive to learning, inclusion, and acceptance. I'm Linda Bordoni.
Finally, Swiss theologian Father Hans Küng died Tuesday at the age of 93 in his home in Tübingen, Germany. In addition to having dedicated himself to the study of the history of religions, Father Küng was known for his theological opinions, which were often at odds with Catholic doctrine. In 1979, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith revoked his faculty to teach as a Catholic theologian, although he continued to work as professor emeritus of ecumenical theology at the University of Tübingen. Francesca Merlo tells us more.
Hans Küng has repeatedly criticized both St. John Paul II and Benedict XVI. At the beginning of Pope Benedict's pontificate on the 24th of September 2005, a meeting took place between the two at Castel Gandolfo. In reporting the meeting, the Bulletin of the Vatican Press Office stressed that the meeting took place in a friendly atmosphere. Both parties were in agreement that it made no sense in the context of the meeting to enter into a dispute about persistent doctrinal questions between Hans Küng and the Magisterium of the Catholic Church. The conversation focused on two themes that were of particular interest for the work of Hans Küng: the question of Weltethos, world ethics, and the dialogue between the reason of the natural sciences and the reason of the Christian faith. In spite of this meeting, positions remained distant on many issues such as priestly celibacy, female priesthood, contraception, and euthanasia. In his research, Küng also analyzes the relationship between faith and science, contesting the claims of some scientific theories to arrive at absolute certainties. In the last years, he slows down his public activity to the point of retiring to private life for health reasons. I'm Francesca Merlo.
And we pray for the soul of Father Hans Küng, dead yesterday at age 93. And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, you can visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Many thanks to our producers and technicians in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells.